"Well, I think a toast is in order," said Mr. Weasley when everyone had a drink. He raised his goblet. "To Ron and Hermione, the new Gryffindor prefects." Ron and Hermione beamed as everyone drank to them and then applauded.
"I was never a prefect myself," said Tonks brightly from behind Harry, as everybody moved toward the table to help themselves to food.
Her hair was tomato red and waist length today. She looked like Ginny's oldest sister.
"My head of house said I lacked certain necessary qualities."
"Like what?" said Ginny, who was choosing a baked potato.
"Like the ability to behave myself," said Tonks.
Ginny laughed. Hermione looked as though she did not know whether to smile or not, and compromised by taking an extra large gulp of butterbeer and choking on it.
"What about you, Sirius?" Ginny asked, thumping Hermione on the back.
Sirius, who was right beside Harry, let out his usual bark-like laugh.
"No one would have made me a prefect. I spent too much time in detention with James. Lupin was the good boy. He got the badge."
"I think Dumbledore might have hoped that I would be able to exercise some control over my best friends," said Lupin. "I need scarcely say that I failed dismally." Harry's mood suddenly lifted. His father had not been a prefect either. All at once, the party seemed much more enjoyable. He loaded up his plate, feeling unusually fond of everyone in the room. Ron was rhapsodizing about his new broom to anybody who would listen.
0-70 in 10 seconds, not bad, is it? When you think the Comet 290's only 0-60, and that's with a decent tailwind according to Which Broomstick?
Hermione was talking very earnestly to Lupin about her view of elf rights.
"I mean, it's the same kind of nonsense as werewolf segregation, isn't it? It all stems from this horrible thing wizards have of thinking they're superior to other creatures."
Mrs. Weasley and Bill were having their usual argument about Bill's hair.
"Getting really out of hand, and you're so good-looking. It would look much better shorter, wouldn't it, Harry?"
"Oh, I don't know," said Harry, slightly alarmed at being asked his opinion. He slid away from them in the direction of Fred and George, who were huddled in a corner with Mundungus. Mundungus stopped talking when he saw Harry, but Fred winked and beckoned Harry closer.
"It's okay," he told Mundungus. "We can trust Harry. He's our financial backer."
"Look what dung's gotten us," said George, holding out his hand to Harry.
It was full of what looked like shriveled black pods. A faint rattling noise was coming from them, even though they were completely stationary.
"Venomous tentacular seeds," said George. "We need them for the skiving snack boxes, but they're a Class C non-tradable substance, so we've been having a bit of trouble getting hold of them."
10 galleons the lot, then, Dung?" said Fred.
"With all the trouble I went to get them," said Mundungus, his saggy bloodshot eyes stretching even wider. "I'm sorry, lads, but I'm not taking a canut under 20.
"Dung likes his little joke," Fred said to Harry.
"Yeah, his best one so far has been 6 sickles for a bag of gnarl quills," said George.
"Be careful,"
Harry warned them quietly.
"What?" said Fred. "Mum's busy cooing over Prefect Ron. We're okay."
"But Moody could have his eye on you," Harry pointed out. Mundungus looked nervously over his shoulder.
"Good point, that," he grunted. "All right, lads, 10 it is, if you'll take 'em quick."
"Cheers, Harry,"
said Fred delightedly, when Mundungus had emptied his pockets into the twins' outstretched hands and scuttled off toward the food.
"We'd better get these upstairs."
Harry watched them go, feeling slightly uneasy. It had just occurred to him that Mr. and Mrs. Weasley would want to know how Fred and George were financing their joke shop business when, as was inevitable, they finally found out about it. Giving the twins his Tri-Wizard winnings had seemed a simple thing to do at the time, but what if it led to another family row and a Percy-like estrangement? Would Mrs. Weasley still feel that Harry was as good as her son if she found out he had made it possible for Fred and George to start a career she thought quite unsuitable?